Welcome in, everybody. A glorious re-debut of Monday Mania. 2 weeks off. One, a shoot job issue, which unfortunately this is not my 100% shoot job as of yet. But thanks to you all, one day it will, right? And then last week, you know, you heard me on the flagship, the solo flagship on Tuesday. My voice, where it was, where it wasn't. If you saw Thursday as well, you will have seen the improvement, and we are 95% of the way back with my voice. So I appreciate all of you putting up with that if you listened to that last week. And especially if you're an audio only listener, appreciate you getting through that if you did. But yeah, we're here. It's Monday. Thank you, Tracy. I didn't really feel bad while it was out. But it does feel good to be able to communicate with other human beings and not have to plan your day around trying not to talk. So thank you. And we're here. So what are we here to talk about on Monday? Well, there's lots of things to talk about. I think we are, you know, what, 3 episodes of Raw and SmackDown up each. So 6 episodes of big time WWE television before we get to WrestleMania. How are we doing with that? We'll talk about that here later in the show. Obviously, Super Chats will dictate the format for my own outline here. So please, if you have any of those, always accepted and happy about that. We've got The Rock on SmackDown last week and kind of the entire SmackDown episode to talk about. We also have Collision, which is obviously the header of the show here. Does AEW have a Collision problem? With three question marks. Oh, thanks, Zach, for he's back. You can tell the Zach copy is back. More intriguing than my kind of nuts and bolts things there. So let's start there. Let's start with Collision, right? And per my friends at Fightful, I will show you here. I have my phone out. And I've got some, you can't see that's too bright, but I've got some information from Fightful.com about Collision viewership, right? We've talked about this a lot. I talk about this a lot. And all of this is framed in the capacity of AEW's next television deal, right? And is it better to take one step back or 2 steps back and 1 step forward as opposed to, you know, maybe 1 step forward? I don't know. My analogy is strained there. I apologize for that. But, you know, is the next deal a Dynamite and maybe 1 hour Rampage-like product for 3 years to really compact who was an important player on the roster, have you as Tony Khan feel how many top men and women and tag teams you need to fill out 3 hours of can't-miss content week in and week out, and then you know, hey, this is how I structure the roster, a lot like WWE has done, right? They typically have 3 top guys on each show that rotate around that that world title scene for each show. For the women, 2 and 2. Tag teams, 1 maybe dominant team at the time with other teams on the horizon, right? The ebb and flow. So now that that's a perfect equation, and you don't want – I don't think Tony Khan does either – wants AEW to be a clone, a cheap imitation of WWE. But there's a way to structure any sort of company, right? If you look at, let's say, an NFL team, right? Most of them typically have 2 to 3 quarterbacks, 3 running backs, 5 or 6 wide receivers, you know, go down the list, right? The rosters are constructed of similar types of players per position, right? You have 7 offensive linemen that dress in a game because 5 play at any given time. If one gets hurt, you need one that can go in and play guard and tackle, one that can play guard and center if that guy gets hurt, right? So there are things that you can mimic, and you can have a completely different style of gameplay. You can be a heavy run-based team. You can be a spread passing team, right? I don't think anyone would, you know, confuse the Carolina Panthers this past season with the Kansas City Chiefs, right? The best and worst team in the league. Have different mentalities, different types of players, but they structure their roster in similar ways based on the number of players, right? So all that being said is let's say 3 hours a week plus 8 pay-per-views a year, if you're in that zone for the next, let's say 25, 26, and 27, the calendar years, that is. If that's your structure, you know what you need. And then if you do want to expand to that additional show in 28, let's say I'm just doing a random 3-year TV deal here. Maybe it's 5, whatever. But you know then what you need to make another successful show, and you need that first show, Dynamite, to be so chucked full of good talent that people are complaining that talent doesn't have time to get on the show, independent of the way you book things, right? So the reason I bring all this up is, again, Fightful. I want to give them the shout out. They've got all the ratings for Collision since its debut, but I just want to start for calendar year 2024. And, you know, so we're just going to run down shows, not tell you the dates, but there have been, I don't know, 12 or 13 or so. 402,000, 400,000, 441, 300, 404, 491, 385, 455, 427 on the 9th of March. I don't know if it might be out, like, just as I'm recording here. I don't know if Saturday's number has come out. As of yet, but I'm going to assume it's in the low fours, high threes. So again, 402, 400, 441, 300, 404, 491, 385, 455, 427, right? So you have found your current viewership for Collision. It's about half that of Dynamite. So what are you gaining in the show? Long term, right? And this is all from the perspective of the TV deal that is yet to be signed, as far as we know, with Tony Khan and Warner Brothers Discovery, if they are so inclined to do so. But, you know, from the portion of Tony Khan, are you willing to take a third less to make your product viable and compelling for 3 hours a week? Or do you take that extra $100 million over the course of a few years to have a show that a lot of people don't talk about, not a lot of people watch, and it seems to water down your brand in a way that is not compelling for you as a business owner, right? If you look at the course of AEW, there's, you know, and I'm someone, and we talked about, like, loved last week's episode. I really like the trajectory they're on. Swerve, Samoa Joe, Kazuchika Okada, Will Ospreay, if Kenny Omega can come back. You know, there's a lot of high-end, Jay White, a lot of high-end talent on this roster that is being used correctly, not to even mention Mercedes Moné, Toni Storm, if Britt Baker comes back, Jamie Hayter, Thunder Rosa, Serena Deeb. You know, if Julia Hart can get a bigger push and improve just slightly in the ring. I mean, I think she's good in the ring, but to the next level talent, the main event level talent, is not quite there. Yes, just a little bit off, but, you know, I think she will be there as part of that cohort of in the women's division as well. So all that being said, the kind of negative press PR vibes of AEW is, you know, CM Punk stuff. So you have basically brawl out to brawl in, right? It's like the year of negativity for AEW. So that is obviously the fight between the Bucks, Kenny, and Ace Steel, and CM Punk, etc. Kind of picking up the pieces there, having MJF as your champion, have that bounce back and forth on what he's doing as a character. Is that good? Is it bad? Do we like it? Do we not like it? Is he a heel or babyface? Then you have Azan, yeah, soapbox time. I mean, hey, I'm here talking into the void for you guys, so I appreciate you joining, as always. But, yeah, it's there, and then it's the debut of Collision with the return of CM Punk, which, in hindsight, was not a bad decision to try and kindle that, as he is a star who brings attention to the product. But, you know, that show debuting, it not being compelling, really, at any given point, except for the combination of the Continental Classic being on Dynamite and Collision. People in the chat watching, you know, and if you're listening to this later, please just in your head, let me know what you're thinking. But, like, what is the most memorable moment from Collision that we, you know, it's almost been a year on TV, and I'm hard pressed to even give you one, which is a problem for a 2-hour show. I can give you numerous for Dynamite over the same amount of time. So it's the debut of that show, that not being super successful, and then obviously Brawl Out, the end of CM Punk, etc. Then I think there is an improvement in, and then you have kind of the fledgling, I guess, after that of the Devil, what that story was, what it ended up being, MJF being hurt, Cole being hurt. So, you know, it's just like that whole time frame, and then you have the Samoa Joe defeating defeating MJF as the, increase in the positivity, at least for me. Yeah, that's my perspective. You guys might have the opposite. AEW might have been in its best place ever for that time period I just told you, and you think it's on the decline. So if you think that too, that's great. Like, that's just my personal opinion here. And I think, you know, Collision is not the sole source of AEW's issues as a company, right? It all starts at the top. Tony Khan. But, you know, the interaction with his talent and the decision to have these shows is a negative, I think. And I just do not think it would be a bad thing for AEW to take a step back, create 3 must-see hours of content a week, and not have 5, right? Because the roster's not there. The commitment is not there to put on can't-miss matches on Collision. I mean, I'd be hard-pressed. I mean, Zach's got some moments in here. But yeah, they're fun matches for hardcore fans, which is what the audience would dictate, right? Danielson, Shibata, Danielson and Yuji Nagata, like all these are dream matches for Bryan Danielson, but you know, and the 400,000 people that watch it loved it and appreciate it. But you know, I think if you have 2 shows, you want it to be, you know, again, not to compare everything to WWE, but you want it to be a Raw and SmackDown combination, right? One gets 1.8 million, the other one gets 2.1 million. Right. And if SmackDown was on cable television, probably have a similar number to Raw. Right. So you would want both to be similar. You don't want one to be head and shoulders above the others. And you don't want your other one to be close to your taped Friday night at 10 p.m. show. You know, and that's what it is. Obviously, Collision is a little better than Rampage, but it's not good. So Zon's right here in the chat. Saturday night is a hard night. It is. Like, and that was like one of the first things, not just because it was debuting during college football season, which is, you know, the second most popular sport behind the NFL in the United States, which is the key market for AEW still, at least from a ratings perspective, right? Maybe not pay-per-view buys, etc., but for what you're doing to get TV deals, it's the number one market by a mile. And so that's a problem. But now that we're post that, it's still Saturday night, right? Like, you know, I work Saturdays a lot. I travel for my real work. So it's been like 4 weeks since I've been able to watch Collision live. And, you know, watching something live versus watching it on tape, you know, I'm certainly going to fast forward. If I know a match is 15 minutes, I might fast forward through the first 5 minutes because I know we need to get to the good stuff. I need to make my time worth it, right? Is that a me problem? Maybe. But that's how I consume the product. And, you know, it's kind of the way – and this is a little bit of a transition, so if you guys have more Collision thoughts, I'm curious. I guess my bigger point, this is probably a written piece that I need to, as Zach has gotten on me about, I need to make sure my fingers work and actually write something for the Substack here this week. So maybe it's this. It is, you know, overall that Collision needs to go away for a period of time, and you can re-debut it when you are in a healthier spot for, hey, these are our top people. We've got the next group coming in, and we just know, you know, we can make the show worth watching for everybody, right? WWF went from, you know, tape delayed Saturday morning, Saturday nights to, he is a boss, like an Office Space. So yeah, don't let his niceties on air fool you. He rules with an iron fist. But where was I? You know, you got the taped stuff Saturday morning, Saturday nights. Then you go to the Raw era, so it's live. And then it took what? 7 years. Is it like 92 to 99? So yeah, 7 years, give or take. Someone can do the exact math on me before SmackDown debuted. So that's your second show years in, right? And if AEW would have gone on the similar course, which is not always needed, but you know, 2019 to 2026, right? That even pairs with kind of my trajectory as well. So, you know, just something to think about. I'll write it out more, my thoughts in person there, but you know, I know I'm on it a lot, but it's not just because like, hey, it's a bad time slot and they don't put good matches on, or they don't have stories that, or hard rosters, you know, all that stuff. There's any sort of number of things that I think are pros and cons, like anything, right? Like, would I have a split roster if I was in charge of AEW and I had to keep both shows? No, I wouldn't. I think you would just signal to everybody who's on Collision, just due to the ratings, that you are on the B-minus show and Dynamite's the A-plus show, and then you're treated as such because you're on the show. So I think you need to get past that point to make a split feel not like a demotion depending on where you're going, which is a big issue in the WWE 20-year history between competition. So that's where I'd be, but check out, you know, I guess that's where I'm at there with that. So Zach is in here on the chat. What about Collision being converted into an ROH show? Yeah, I think that's great. And ROH typically was on, at least for me, I don't know about you guys, it was different market to market, but it was Saturday night at like 2 a.m. On our local Fox affiliate, as they were the Sinclair station in town. So yeah, if you do that, that's fine. I think your ratings will be even less. But if you have to keep the time slot, I think you could use it as your NXT equivalent. You know, I mean, NXT beats Collision. So even that's there. But, you know, if you want to build people and move them up and have like a 180 Kingston in there to like be the, you know, the chieftain of the smaller company there within everything, you know, I think that works. And having it on a premium slot is more in the right direction of what ROH should be used as if you're Tony Khan. Not, again, like, I don't watch it, so I'm curious, like, you still have to have Honor Club to watch Ring of Honor, right? And, you know, I'm sure some of you have it. I don't. I mean, I'll just be honest with you guys. You know, I don't watch. I'll tell you what stuff I don't watch because we don't talk about it, but it's beyond dead right now. I think resurrecting that, it could be at its best and above in WWE ECW thing. So being the champion of that is important, etc. So yeah, but I talked about SmackDown, so we'll transition here. I had a better segue earlier, but I want to talk about because like this week's SmackDown was a lot like how Collision is booked for me, minus one obviously glaring difference, and that's the opening thing of The Rock. And this is the third appearance in 3 weeks. Last week, you know, was the big face-to-face with Rock, Roman, Cody, Seth. I enjoyed it enough. I'm a little bit in the diminished returns aspect as a hardcore wrestling fan. I don't think it's quite Cena and Rock doing their back and forth for what felt like forever. But, you know, I think the first appearance with Rock and Roman together, Rock doing like leaning in heavy to a shtick and acknowledging Roman as his tribal chief was probably the peak of these three appearances. Last week's was fine. It got the confirmation that the match is happening, the tag match that is. And this week was just, you know, Rock doing Rock stuff and coming out, having fun, singing, doing his heel gimmick with not much accomplished, right? So it's one of those things, like, in the moment, super fun. And the live crowd loved it. And, you know, if you're there in person, is that going to be something you always remember? Probably so. But for the story, where it's going, whatever, like, it didn't hurt it. I'm not trying to say that. I'm just saying, like, this is totally, you go watch a clip of this on YouTube and then skip most of the rest of the episode, right? I mean, there's the stuff with the tag tournament in there. There's Randy Orton taking on Grayson Waller. You know, what do you think was going to happen there? Becky and Dakota Kai, which is interesting storytelling as that match is now heating up as Bayley's kind of going through Io's minions and then the DQ victory, I guess, technically for Bayley. You know, that was fine as a main event, but the meat of that sandwich on SmackDown was pretty light. There's the confusing tag tournament going on, and then we're going to see that continue tonight on Raw. What, 40 teams are part of that? And, you know, with Awesome Truth getting the win in the end, or else it's an absolute travesty. But, yeah, it was, like, totally fine. It was a great episode, or great segment for entertainment value, but you don't need any of that for this match. So that's kind of where we are in the scope of Road to WrestleMania with our six episodes, three for each brand. That you know, this is kind of the part where you're stretching stuff, but you don't want to go, you know, get to the apex of the feud between them. You know, they'll probably all see each other one or two more times before the match itself. So, you know, I'm glad Elimination Chamber's in there as a real pay-per-view to break this up from Rumble to Mania. But that's just kind of where I am. And tonight, same way, right? You know, it's buoyed with the tag stuff. Becky and Nia should be interesting as a good main event to see, hey, can Becky continue to, you know, rise up and get that babyface legendary underdog. You know, she's an underdog legend, I guess. It's kind of her story she's telling at the moment. Continuing that is interesting. So, yeah, you know, that's kind of where I am with this. And I hope this week is a more, you know, I think the last week's content of WWE was plateauing to dipping just slightly. You know, if we're in 100% scale, you know, probably dipped 5% if we were at, I don't know, 75% of, like, okay, 100% is peak. You know, I don't know if we'll quite get to 100% on any of these matches, but, you know, everything, right? Jimmy and Jay even plateaued. Maybe Drew and Seth was increased as Drew is trying to convince Seth to actually care about their match, which is a compelling way to tell that story. Obviously, the tags. So everything's ratcheting up. I think this week is the start of the slow increase on the roller coaster. So we'll see, but that's kind of where I am. I'm just curious, you know, you guys aren't giving me too much pushback in the live chat. So, you know, I don't think I'm out on a limb here and going crazy, but, you know, same spot for AEW, right? Like, you know, we're now building to the next pay-per-view. We have a lot of the matches booked, Swerve and Joe. We've got, Danielson and Ospreay, which hopefully that'll be more collision-y to get those ratings as the subject at the top of the show is there. We've got, you know, the six-man tag belts hopefully being combined into one super six-man tag belt. And maybe the winner will take on the Young Bucks and Kazuchika Okada after Kazuchika Okada defeats Eddie Kingston. Like, so all that's there. And, you know, we were set that up. So maybe this week is that plateau week for AEW, like we saw last week for WWE. And then we'll go on the increase after that. But, Zach, I see your post here. I will go vote in that. I apologize for missing that. So, yeah. Okada and Pac. Okada and Pac on the top of a show is important. So, yeah. So, sorry. I'm kind of all over the place. You guys, I'm reading you guys very good comments here. But, so all that being said, you know, an interesting weekend of pro wrestling, which includes, you know, all the stuff happens Friday and Saturday. But nothing, both, I guess the moral of the wrestling analysis on TV for me is things are on good rails for both companies, WrestleMania and, AEW. Oh my God, it's called Dynasty, right? The next pay-per-view in St. Louis. I should know that. Please someone correct me if that's incorrect. But, you know, both are on rails and in a good way, right? Have a lot of very good matches, et cetera. And I agree, Zach. Danielson, Shibata was great. Never thought I'd see Shibata be able to wrestle at all, period, let alone a match like that ever again. So that was, you know, something that I'm thankful to have been able to see on American television. It didn't have to be on American television, just in the year 2024, right? 2017, I didn't think Shibata would be wrestling ever again. But so, yeah, that's kind of where I am on the spot. I'm not going to tax my voice anymore. As you can tell, it was a little dipping there at the end. So we're going to leave it there. We've got a big Monday night. Dynasty. Thank you. What did I say? Destiny? Yes, it's Dynasty. Okay. I thought I said Destiny for a second. Dynasty. But yeah, big, hopefully a big Raw tonight. A lot of tag team action. Cody responds to The Rock is kind of what's booked. Obviously, Nia, Becky, I think will be the main event. So yeah, a fun show. And Zach and I will be back and better than ever tomorrow night combined. And yes, Sean, thank you for showing up. The show is wrapping up here, but you know, as Azan said, I was on my soapbox for the first 15 minutes, which you know I like to be on. So I got to get to writing, or else Zach will yell at me again, as you guys all know. So until we talk again tomorrow at 8:30 p.m. Eastern, I'll see you guys all later. Thank you as always. I really appreciate it. Mondays are back.